David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have Charlotte Adams. She has her own podcast on our channel. She is a podcast community person who participates in our group, and she is a guitar expert and musician. And she also has a lot of experience over the years playing instruments, especially with the guitar. And she has a lot of knowledge to share, and she has some really good input and advice. So listen and put your ears up, because she's going to really, really stun you with some of the information she has to share today. So Charlotte, how's everything going and what's been going on?
Oh, it's going fine. It's a beautiful day here, and have no complaints about that. And I've just been super busy like you have, but like you, all the stuff I'm busy with is stuff that I'm excited about and like to do. So yeah, no complaints.
So tell me a little about what your ideas are, because so many people love music and love especially the guitar, and they love to either play it or they just love to listen to it. Tell me what that means to you.
Well, I'd like to start with what it means to, I mean, I think it can mean different things to different people, but really, what does it mean to the listener, to you and the people listening? I think it's just an expression that we hear, oh, he's a natural or she's a natural, because it seems like when they play, it is so natural. There's no struggle, and it seems like it comes easily to them. And maybe it did come more easily to them as they were coming up than it seems to come to you. So, you know, it gets into, we could get into, and I'd like to at some point, but I don't want to get off of how to get you going into being this natural musician, into is really good musicianship acquired, or is it born in? We touched on that some. And of course, my stance is that you can grow talent, but it doesn't mean that there aren't people who are very talented springing from the womb, you know. So I don't think it's an either or question. I think it's a yes, yes, you know, like most things in life.
I think,
or like that. But natural musicianship is, you know, I would define as what I just described, being able to play with ease, being able to play expressively, having yourself in it, and no, you know, lack of struggle.
Yeah.
Would be a part of that. So what I really want to talk about today, there are a lot of things that bring you toward that or to that. And that's another thing about growing talent. Those are the things that you want to cultivate to grow your talent. But today I want to talk about the most important one of those, which I think gets left out a lot, because, you know, we talk about hard work, which is another time. I think I'd rather talk about strong commitment than hard work.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, there's a concept of do less, accomplish more, you know, that's adhere to that. So relaxation, connection, a lot of different things that go into that, rather than just like pounding in it. Because you could be the hardest worker in the world and not get it.
Exactly.
Right? And so that's why people think, it makes you feel bad if you're like, but I've worked really hard and I've done all these steps that you've talked about. I practiced this, and it's still not what I want. So I'm going to give you today what is, in my experience with my bazillion students, the key, which is listening. Okay, so 100% of the time when I'm working with a student and they're not getting something, it's because they're not hearing it completely or accurately.
Yes.
Okay, so 100% of the time, what I'm doing with any student is listening to what they do and hearing, oh, let's fix this. Oh, it's missing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm filling in those gaps, I'm making corrections. And I think that hard work and doing everything right, you have to be careful with that, because we have kind of a cultural programming of getting the grade, doing it right, checking all the boxes. And the big box here is connecting you and your guitar, or whatever your instrument is, like the name of my two-book set, You and Your Guitar. It's about all of that. So, like so many things in life, it's about maybe everything. It's about connection. So the listening is the big thing. Now, I want to emphasize how you can start this before you ever pick up an instrument, or at any time during your playing. You can begin to cultivate your listening skills, develop them further and further. And the cool thing is, like playing guitar, which I always say, the bad news is you'll never get there. And the good news is you'll never get there. Because I get bored. I couldn't have a career in something that just was finite. I don't want to learn a skill and then just do assembly line the rest of my life. It's not about making money. It's about being fulfilled and connected. So listening, your listening skills will continue to improve your whole life. Mine are continuing to improve all the time. It is the most exciting thing to me about playing, because when a student brings me a song and says, I want to play that, I listen to it once, I've got it, I can show them how to play it. I love that. It's super fun. Or if I'm playing with other people and they start playing, I can jump right in and play, because part of it is I've played a lot and I can anticipate what's coming, but I can anticipate it for a variety of reasons. A lot of what I'm doing is using my ear. So I'd like to talk about this in two different parts today. The first part is I'm going to talk about how you can begin to cultivate this, you, Stacy, or anybody at home now, like as soon as you stop listening to this podcast, would be fun. By listening to the music you like. You don't have to be playing an instrument. You don't have to be studying an instrument. You just have to shift the way you hear your music. Now, there's the key here is intentionality, right? So I just want to draw this analogy. So we all know that if we have some place that we like to go, but we've never taken ourselves there, someone drives us every time. We may have gone there 50 times, 100 times. But if we had to get ourselves there, we go, oh, I don't know. Do I turn here or there? How far is it? We haven't done it ourselves. So that's the degree of engagement that you have or you don't have. And the same thing applies to your listening. What happens is a student brings me, this is my favorite song since I was a teenager. I love this song. I've listened to it thousands of times. Can you sing it? No, they're missing words. They don't have the melody accurate. Various gaps, and sometimes the whole thing is just one big gap. Like driving the car, they need to get in the car and drive themselves, right? To be able to get that. And so those are some of the things we're going to talk about today, is how to do that. The next step of engagement is if you say every time you drive to that place, you have a map or you have your GPS talking at you. Okay, you can get there, but you still don't have the full engagement, because you need that. You're still dependent on that. So that's what happens with people who depend on reading music. And tabs, you don't get off free for that. You're still depending on symbols to get you there. So you don't really have this holistic experience. So now we want to get rid of the map and say that's north, south, east, west. Oh, I got the directions. Oh, and I know this time of year the leaves look this way on that side of the road, or it smells this way because something's blooming. You begin to get more and more engaged with the environment. So we want to get really engaged with the musical environment in that same way. So first step is, as I say, you can just start listening to music with deeper intentions, and it gets to be more and more fun. So there are things that you love about the songs you love. Identify them. Where are they? Oh, did you hear that? Oh, listen to that little bass line, or listen to that little harmony, or oh, I love the way the rhythm shifts there.
Yeah.
So you can, and I recommend doing this with a lot of songs, like every song, if you're serious about getting to be a better listener and getting more enjoyment out of your listening,
Yeah.
is start just for, most people groove to their music anyway, clap, and then
Yeah.
clap, or just maybe clap on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, the first beat, and then you can start to count with it. Now you're really getting with the rhythm, and then you may find that, oh, I'm counting four, and that's working and working, working, and suddenly I'm counting, and it shifts. That must have only had two beats in that measure. Now,
Right.
oh, no wonder I like that part so much. It got my interest. It was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay, so you start to identify these things, and then you can listen to how the notes are played, and start to define them like you would remember when you were in English class in high school.
Yeah.
Is it sweet? Is it warm? Is it sharp? Is it cold? Is it what to you? How does it feel? And
Right.
when does it shift? And what does that shift make you feel?
Yeah.
When you feel something, why am I feeling that? Oh, there's another thing. Listen to those chords, the quality of the chord. Does it sound like a happy chord or a sad chord? Is it major
Right.
or minor? Or then does it sound like all the harmonies, which would be the chords, are going along all together just fine? And then there's something, wow, that's really interesting, but it didn't sound like it stepped completely out. It
Right.
had a little twist to it. You start to identify those things. Now you're doing ear training already,
Yeah.
which I'm kind of not like loving calling it ear training, because it sounds like you're training your ears. And really, you're developing your mind, your perceptions, your expanding your perceptions, you're
Right.
getting better at identifying and naming, and
Yeah.
you're connecting to these sounds. Okay, so how are we doing so far? Do you think that's something you're going to be listening
Oh,
more?
for sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So then the next thing you can do is the melody, because that's the melody is like, that's at the top. We have different elements of music, melody, harmony, rhythm, or the
Yeah.
top. And rhythm is what gets you moving, and it might really get you going toward that song. But the melody is what you whistle. That's what you walk away with, right?
Okay.
Or you sing, or you la 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 in the shower. So now we want to start really thinking about that melody,
Right.
because 90% of the time, maybe a higher percentage of time, when my students come and they sing, they don't, even people who sing on key pretty much, that can find the starting pitch, and can, they have whole portions who are just nah. Like, wait a minute, what'd you say there? Start to know where every note is,
Right.
okay? And then you can start listening to your own singing or playing, preferably both, and determine where those little vague phrases are. Get
Yeah.
rid of that vagueness. I want to know what you're saying.
Right.
I don't want you talking to me and leaving out three-fourths of the words because they're like, so you want to pinpoint those guys. So as you're doing that, you're going to notice that there are some songs, some notes you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
You've been listening to this for 1,000 times, maybe 2,000, maybe 200, whatever. You don't know what those notes are. You just thought you knew them because the highs and the lows and the
Yeah.
parts punch. But it's all that other stuff that holds it together. We
Right.
need all of it. So what you can do is go note to note. Da, was that up or down? Da. And when you sing it, you can feel it and identify it more clearly. So
Right.
sing, and I'll talk about that again in a minute, because not everybody wants to do that. Da da. Oh, it went up. Now, did it go up a skip or a step? So from each note, go, did it go up or down? Oh, it went down this time, and then it just went down a little, or it went down a lot. You start to just make a map, and you can get a piece of paper and draw a map. Like, you'll have a
Right.
neutral line where this is like your baseline. We're going to call
Yeah.
that tonic, which is the starting point of the scale or the key name. Time.
Right.
Okay. And that, and your line, you make a horizontal line. I made this up. I hope you like it.
I
I do this with my students all the time. You make a
do.
line, and then when it goes up, you go up. And if it goes up a lot, you go up a lot, and then it goes down, and you do that. And suddenly, at some point, if someone like me, for example, points it out to you, you're writing music. You don't, you know, this thing that you've shied away from so much, music is just a map. Standard notation is a map.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you can say, and you don't have to do it because you want to write music, but I just thought I'd point it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
That much closer to being able to read music. You know, reading music well is not about knowing each note and where it is, like a keyboard. Like,
right.
Reading music is being able to see the shapes and sing or play it on your instrument.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I think. Okay, so, and I'm the one talking, so what I think matters today. Okay, so you have these ways of listening, and then when you have your instrument, you want to listen the same way.
Right.
Because when my students play for me, their perspective is not always what it needs to be for optimal results.
Right.
They're thinking about this mechanical stuff. Again, yeah. Back to like the way we learn in school. But we want to always be connecting back to the ear, to the ear, to the ear, to the heart, to the ear.
Right.
Right, to the instrument, to the ear, to the instrument. And it becomes...
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what playing by ear seems so magical, even to me, when I'm playing by ear.
Yeah.
It is very cool. That's why we all want to do it, because it's like, wee, you know, it's
yeah.
Like some kind of a free sport you're doing. You know, you're skiing downhill, or you're jumping over jumps on your horse, or you're doing these things. There's just like, you're in the zone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So you want to start cultivating the way you can listen while you play.
Right.
And listening while you play is what the professional musician is doing 100% of the time. So you're tweaking this, you're inventing that, you're tweaking something else, you're flowing with the other. That's what you're doing. Playing well is about listening.
Right.
Reading music is about listening. Learning a song is about listening. Everything is about listening. When you start an instrument, you become so engrossed in getting the mechanics, getting your hands to do the right thing, getting the right sound, the sound that you want out of your instrument. And then, you know, with guitar, oh my goodness, people get so engrossed in the instrument themselves. You know, like, oh, it's so sexy, and what color is it, and what kind of pedals do you have, and what kind of, you know, which is fine. You like it, do that, great. I'm not down that at all. It's fun.
Yeah.
But you got to remember that if you want to play it well,
yeah,
you need to get into this connected space.
Right.
So you want to listen to the same things, really. I want to play this. I hear this in my head. Is it going to be a big skip or a little skip up or down?
Right.
So that's kind of the gist of it. To me, it's the biggest thing you can do. And you can do it, as I say, away from your instrument a lot of time. So I'm going to talk some about now how to connect that with your instrument. Before I do, I wanted to know, what do you think? Is there anything that you want to ask me about or comment on, or how do you feel about any of this?
No, I understand. I understand completely what you're saying. I think, like, when I was trying to learn instruments, I got too involved with the mechanics instead of, like you said, listening to the beat going high, or, you know, is it going high or is it going low? I was so worried about learning to play and to do it right that I think I was avoiding those steps. And I think that's why I had so much difficulty when I was trying to learn instruments, because I was too engulfed into learning the mechanics, and I wasn't really it seems like you have to kind of not so worried about the mechanics, but open your ears and really listen to what the sounds are saying to you, and then just naturally go with the rhythm and go with the instrument that you're playing, like the guitar. And then it comes all, it all kind of pieces together as one. That's what I kind of get.
You know, right. And again, you know, like if you want to get in the car and drive yourself somewhere, well, you better learn how to drive. And you got to get a license.
Right.
You're not, you know, crashing is not what we want. The mechanics. You definitely need the mechanics. But you know, like we're saying, is the mechanics can be so difficult that we forget that we're there to make music.
Yeah.
But you can be musical from the first time you pick up your instrument.
Right.
So you can play scales beautifully. And I highly recommend it. It's much more fun. People are like, oh, I hate playing scales and exercises. I'm like, I love playing scales and exercises because I'm ingraining those mechanics. And I'm playing it musically, and I like to play music.
Right.
So I don't want to hear myself or anybody else play robotically.
Yeah.
Scales to me are not an excuse to be a robot.
Right.
You know, scales are an element that you're going to be using in your music. That's wonderful.
For
you
know, someone,
they can take you somewhere.
For someone who doesn't know what scales are, can you explain to somebody who was interested in music, but they don't know the term scales?
Thank you. That's why I wanted to turn to you some. So, you know, most people know the do, a deer, a female deer. Do, re, mi, fa, so. That's a scale. So
okay.
A scale is a set of notes organized in a particular fashion that creates a tonal center. The tonal center, so the whole song is organized in the center, so you've got a home to carry in. And home base, as I said, is tonic, the beginning note of the scale. So the most commonly known scale, and the one that is going to be the most useful to you for Western music, meaning, you know, European music, whether it's classical, folk, rock, jazz, whatever,
right,
is the major scale, and then the one that's born from that is the minor scale. There are three forms of minor, but we're basically going to be, for the beginner, we're going to be dealing with either a major mode or a minor mode,
right,
a major scale or a minor scale. And there are formulas for each scale. I mean, there are hundreds of scales because, you know, different cultures have their music. That's why when you listen to music from one culture that's very different from ours, the music sounds really different. It's based on a different organization of tones or notes.
Yeah.
So the major scale is organized. Like if you go to a piano and you see, like, if anybody can find middle C, it's the one before the two black keys.
Right, right.
See, white key, black key, white key, black key, white key, white key, two white keys in a row, black, white, black, white, black, white, white, another two in a row.
Yeah.
From any one of those to the other, whether it's a white key to a black key or a white key that's right adjacent to two white keys adjacent to one another, that's called a half step.
Okay.
So like back, let's go back to the C, which is white key, black key. White key is D. So now we went a whole step. C to D is a whole step.
Okay.
And if you go to the piano and you play, piano is so much easier than any other instrument. So you can see it literally in black and white.
Yeah.
Go this way, you're going up. You go that way, you're going down in pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start on that C and you play all white keys till you get to the next C, you will have played a C scale.
Okay.
Okay. That's the organization of the tones. Now, that won't work on any other, starting on any other note. You have to, you know, you can get the formula, you can extract it from that, or you can have somebody tell you, you can go on my website and you can get the formula whole, half, and you can start anywhere and do it. It'll sound like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Right.
So that's scale, and it's essential, which segues into what I was going to say that you can do for your ear training to start connecting it to your instrument.
Okay.
The best thing you can do is learn a major scale. Thank you for leading me into that. So learn the major scale. It could just be one octave. It doesn't have to be two octaves. And then you want to sing the scale with it while you're playing.
Okay.
Again, if you have a keyboard, it may be easier for you to start on the keyboard because on the guitar, you have to change strings. That's the crazy thing about the guitar.
Right.
But you need to learn it anyway. So, I mean, you
Yeah.
can learn it. Just depends on your level of patience or if you need something more visual. But if you're just doing a one octave scale, I'm going to suggest you don't do the one octave scale in the first position on the guitar because it includes open strings. Okay. That's great, but anybody that plays guitar will realize that if you play bar chords, for example, you bar all across one fret with your index finger and you make the chord shape with your other three fingers, then you can play 12 chords for the price of one. Play one chord shape and you just move the bar up. And it's the same
Okay.
with scales. If you learn a scale pattern that every note you play, you're using a finger, it's not an open string, you're having the finger
Yeah.
down on a fret.
Right.
You do that, you can play all 12 scales
Oh,
with
wow.
one pattern. Ah, how cool is that?
That is very cool.
Super cool. So I would recommend doing that for starters. And if you know a C scale in the open position, you're comfortable with it, and you understand how the sounds move across the strings, by all means, go for it. I'm just saying that if it feels a little weird to you, just learn what I call scale pattern number one. It's on my website and all my books, or most of my books. And then you can play any scale, so you can find
Yeah.
a place that your voice is comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to find a place your voice is comfortable and just sing it. But instead of trying to sing, you don't need to know all the note names, especially in the
Okay.
beginning. At some point you want to know the notes on your guitar, but it takes a long time. You're not going to do that. I actually had one student one time who just absolutely insisted she was going to memorize all the notes on the guitar before she did anything else. I kept saying, not very realistic. I think you're going to get frustrated. Why don't we do this and learn it as we go? I have a system where you can learn it pretty quickly and we'll do it one area at a time. No. And she went away and she came back much later, very frustrated. She said, okay, I'm ready to go with the way you say it.
Oh,
Like memorizing the dictionary if you want to speak the language.
wow.
Now, if you want to speak the language, start speaking and then adding vocabulary as you go.
Right.
Don't have that intention to build a vocabulary, but you don't want to memorize a dictionary.
Right.
It's not fun and it won't work. So same with scales. You don't have to memorize the whole fretboard. All you have to do is memorize a pattern. And then
Yeah.
instead of saying the note name, say what I'm going to call it, the scale degree numbers. So in other words, instead of saying do, re, mi, you say one, two, three.
Right.
Okay, one, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. And then get where you can, it won't take you very long. Sing it. One, two, three, two, one, two, three, two, one. Now skip to one, two, three, one, three, one, three, one.
Yeah.
Now you know that interval. One, two, three, four, one, four, one, four, one. One, two, three, four, five, one, five, one, five, one. One, two, three, four, five, four, one, five, four, one, two, one. See, you start playing with them
Yeah,
until
yeah.
you can do something with those five notes or three notes if it's easier, or all eight notes.
Yeah.
Where you are, start there and
Right.
go from there. And then you can do that on your instrument. Play one, which is tonic, two, which is scale degree two in the key of C, it would be D, whatever scale you're in. If you want to know the note, fine, look it up or figure it out, but you don't need to right now. Right
Right.
now, you want to get scale degree numbers because we're trying to get our ear in there, right?
Yeah.
And then you start connecting where these sounds are with where your fingers are.
Right.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool. Yeah, they did a documentary. I don't know if you know Eddie Van Halen, and he was a rock and roll star, but
Sure.
he had such a knack for the guitar, and they were showing him when he was playing the guitar with the two handles, and he just, I think it was scaling what he was doing. He was just going so quickly, but he wasn't really moving too much, but he was using one hand more than the other, but all
Yeah.
his notes, just came out of it, and it all flowed. But just watching it was like it was like, wow, you know, it was just it was amazing how quick his hand went. He used one hand more than the other, and the other hand just like it seemed like he was just pressing against three notes most of the time, but his other hand was going like this. But the music that came out was so amazing, and it all flowed together. It was just it was really cool to watch. It was just like, wow, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing, is it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
But what does?
Right, exactly, exactly.
No, I mean, you're building muscle in your body, you're building muscle in your mind, you're, you know, developing your sense of hearing, your oral senses. You're developing things, so you're building.
Yeah.
And then you do it a lot. And that's one of the things about ear training, is you don't have to say, oh, I have 30 minutes to practice or 2 hours to practice. You can do it while you're washing the dishes. Now, some days you're going to need your guitar or whatever instrument. You're going to need it in hand.
Yes.
And then you want to make use of what you're learning
Yeah.
with your instrument. But so much you can do while you're driving, cooking, sweeping floors, listening, you know.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that though. I think when people think about guitar training and just have it learn and have it naturally flow, you know, and you think more about you have to be in front of a guitar and you have to be holding the guitar and you have to be memorizing notes. And I think people who aren't familiar with learning how to play the guitar, those are the things that the mechanics come in. And they think it's, you know, it's constant, you know, play, 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 and they don't realize that there's so many ways to enhance your guitar playing, but besides staying in front of a guitar and trying to learn the mechanics of it. It's pretty cool when you explain it that way.
Well, thank you. I think that, you know, I don't see people talking about this way. And I think that the reason is probably that if you do just keep pounding at it and pounding and pounding at it, in time you're going to get somewhere.
Right.
But again, you know, if someone drives you someplace 10,000 times instead of 100 times, you might be able to find your way there.
Right.
And so there's that. And then it's also not real straightforward. It's not a very clear cut way how you can give this to someone. How do you teach someone to do this? Because you have to do it yourself if you want it.
Yeah.
You can't put your finger on it. Right. So in playing guitar, a lot of people just want to focus so much on what you do with your hands.
Yeah.
Which is obviously very important. But if you, for instance, if you learn singing,
right,
you can't see what your vocal cords are doing. Mm-mm. You can't make them. You can't direct them by looking at them.
Right.
It has to be more visceral, more intuitive, very focused. And you take that those same skills and that same approach into guitar playing, and you're going to see big improvement.
Wow.
So it's a trust issue.
Yeah.
It's a trust issue that, you know, you have to be patient and keep doing it.
Right.
And set aside your expectations.
Right.
So, you know, do it until you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I always have a little bit of a reaction, I guess, more disappointment. I don't know what it is, but I notice when people start to play guitar and they say, well, can I do this in 30 minutes a day? Or when am I going to get there? Or when am I going to get to this? I'm like, you know, you're going to get there when you get there.
Exactly.
I mean, when I think back on when I started to play guitar, and the whole time I play guitar, I have never done it on a schedule.
Okay.
You don't say you're not at a job with a desk.
Right.
So when I was a kid and I first picked up a guitar and I wanted to learn a song, how long did it take me to learn that song? I picked up the guitar and I played it until I knew it.
Right.
And that, I mean, I can't tell you if it was 3 hours over the course, but I tell you, when I went to bed that night, I could play the song. All right. Now, if you had this other attitude about it could take you a month, maybe a week, whatever. And everybody's different. Everybody has different capabilities that they come in with. Like I said, you grow these things, but you're going to go at different speeds. You have different experiences from the past that will feed into your success, or actually, especially the speed of your success. But one way to do, no matter what, take it away from the clock and enjoy the process, because that's, to me, the beauty of playing guitar or playing music, is the playing of it, not the, oh, did I get that done today?
I think you have to get more immersed into the music and really just listen to the notes and let it take control of your soul in a sense, you know, just let it take control of you and just like really get immersed with the sound and just kind of let your fingers flow and just have fun with it is what I'm grasping.
Be going for that zone. No. And you're not going to get there all the time. And you may not get there very much at all. But you should get there if you don't have as your intention. So trying, like really trying, is going to stifle that commitment, and sticking with that discipline of being in that space. And I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm not texting. I'm not answering the phone. I'm right here.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think that's really important. It's to kind of like close off the rest of the world and really just focus on the sound and the music and just let your ears open and just, you know, think about the scales and the music and this where the sound is going. Is it going high? Is it going low? And then get used to where it is. You know, if I touch this, it's going to be this way. If I touch this, it's going to go this way. And then kind of learn how to put it all together so you could actually play music that flows and has a really pretty sound and a pretty flow to it, you know, according to what you like.
So my advice is, if you're learning songs off YouTube or wherever, and and you're not sure if it's right or not, this is a chronic issue with people. I will say that if you're not sure if it's right, it's probably not. So when, just like matching pitches, oh, I wanted to talk about matching pitches because, I said you need to sing, and some people are like, I can't match a pitch, or I'm tone deaf. You're not tone deaf. I'm pretty sure, because there's such a tiny percentage of the population is literally tone deaf. But unless you've got some kind of, you have some kind of problem with your, physiology. But you can learn to match pitches, and you can try some apps and stuff to do that. But basically, start with a pitch that's in your vocal range, that's comfortable for you. And if you're hitting it with your voice, it will lock in. It just locked in. If it doesn't lock in, you're probably not there. You may be super close, or you may be really far away. If you feel like maybe I'm close, and just kind of adjust a little bit, but if you're not sure, you can start. And when you hit the one that you're trying to match, keep that ringing, it'll lock in. Or you can start like, oh, there, it locked right there. So pay attention and learn to do that. If that's hard, you'll need someone who's experienced and knowledgeable to help you, a teacher. Like, I can help people do that. But after a certain amount of time of matching pitches, you will be able to do it. And that's critical. That's a critical skill for playing by ear. You have to have it. No one's gonna argue that. Nobody's gonna back me up on this. All You have to be able to sing it before you can play it. Now, you don't have to sing it with perfect tone and great breath control. You don't have to be a professional singer. You don't have to sing it in public. You don't have to want to be heard. But you need to match the pitches. So I wanted to circle back around to that, because that's an important thing that that you need to know.
Yeah. And if you had to take everything that we talked about today and you wanted to like really point out and emphasize some of the important factors, what would you say some of those things were that you want the listeners to understand about learning how to be a natural musician?
I'd say that anytime that you're not satisfied with your playing or your learning, the speed of your learning or your comprehension, always look to see what's going on and what you could improve with your listening.
Yeah.
And make it your intention to forever from now on, the rest of your life, continue to listen more deeply and to get more from what you're hearing. And
Right.
you'll be putting more into and getting more back out of what you're playing. So just the main takeaway I'd like for people to have today is to give importance to listening, ear training, if you will, whatever you want to call it, and develop that, cultivate that skill. It's invaluable.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot. Now you have a bunch of different services that you offer. What are some of the services that you offer?
I teach online, one-on-one, and also, and you can take lessons weekly, every other week, every month, every so often, one lesson, a whole semester. I actually offer, if you want to go beyond just guitar playing and you want to have a real musical education without having to pay for music school and travel and live somewhere, okay, then you
Yeah.
can take by the semester from me, and I will help you with your whole musical education.
Yeah.
So from beginning, if you want to just play a few songs and you've never picked up a guitar, through that,
Yeah.
I can do that online. And then I have a line of books for beginner through advanced players. I have You and Your Guitar, which I referred to, which teaches you the things that you need to know for your lesson, how your level, how to approach those, how to get them, and then
Right.
how to learn best. And then I have this virtual studio, which, by the way, I really want to encourage your listeners on this, because one of the books that I have written in the past, that's the first book I wrote, I think, was my ear training course. And I have the whole course in the virtual studio, and you can become a virtual studio member for free for a whole month. So you could take that course for free. I also have my music theory course and, a lot of lessons. And then if you want to stay in there, it's only $9.95 a month. So, if you're thinking about getting an ear training course, it's going to be your cheapest way to go, and there's a lot in there. And then you have access to me. You're welcome to email me or ask questions or take a lesson every now and then, and so forth. So that's pretty much it. The virtual studio has, as I said, several courses in it and a lot of different lessons for every level player.
And they can go on your website to get the free courses to try it out then.
Yeah, so if you go on my website, at the top on the top menu, it says Virtual Studio. Click on that. You'll have to sign up like you do, like you're a membership, but you won't get charged.
Right.
Act like you're going to get charged, and we'll charge you zero. And then
Mm-hmm.
you can cancel anytime. So if you just want to be in for a month, then just cancel it before then. And I run the site, so I'm always there. And if you think, oh no, she got me, it went one day over and I didn't want to do the next month, but just write me an email. I go, okay, and I'll cancel it for you, whatever. So
Right.
I'm here for you. So go to the virtual studio, sign up there, and you can access all of this. Or if you don't want to be in the virtual studio and the only thing you want is the ear training, go to the shop page in the same part of the menu, top menu, and you'll see all my books. Get the ear training book there. It's cheap. And it's got the audio files and even some discs if you still want to use a CD. So
Oh, very cool. And what is your website so people know where to go?
it's limitless-guitar.com. Limitless-guitar.com.
I love it. I love it.
And if you can't remember my website, you just type in my name, Charlotte Adams Guitar, Charlotte Adams Limitless, just kind of piece together things, but the website is limitless-guitar.
That's awesome. I love it. I learned a bunch of stuff today too.
I'm glad. I was hoping you would. I love that feedback. Because I know you really love music.
I do. I really do. You know, I struggled a little bit learning music, you know, but I think, you know, a lot of the information you've given since you've been doing the podcast, you know, actually helped me, because I think I was focusing on the wrong things. And that's why I came out. So it was so difficult for me to learn instruments, is because I was doing it wrong. I was focusing on the wrong things when I should have been focusing on the other things. And it's focusing on the sound, just like it, you know, when you meditate, you clear your mind, and then just like you really focus on the outside. Well, with music, you kind of clear your mind and you just focus on the sound, you know, of the instrument. And that's what I think, you know, when it comes easy is when you start to you can connect the sounds, and then you can see, you know, where your hands are, and you can see like how you're playing. Or even like you said, you don't need the guitar. You could actually practice even when you're washing the dishes, and you kind of learn how to scale and listen to the notes, and either clap your hands or just, you know, or just listen to, is it going high? Is it going low? And then when you get on the guitar, you use the same theories. And then I think it comes easier for you.
Yeah, and your body will follow more easily. Yeah, you know, I picked up on this in our first talk, and you were talking about when you were in
the piano class.
Piano, yes. And you use the word, you said, I just wasn't coordinated enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, well, your coordination, no, none of us are coordinated enough when we start.
Yeah.
But that's, your body follows your mind.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Your body needs good direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs you to trust it.
Right. That's so true.
You're a team. You're a
yeah.
team.
I like that.
You know a lot about that from your history with wellness and healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not separate. You're not a mind and a body. You're a mind body that works together. And
right.
So, you know, when you're punishing your body, like, oh, you just can't do this. You're messing up. Oh, you messed up again. Oh, you played the wrong note, blah, blah, blah. You're on the wrong track. I can tell you. It's not
yeah.
going to go well. It's not
right.
going to be fun. And you might learn something, but it's not going to go as quickly as you might like.
Right.
It's not going to be as much fun. And it should be fun.
Yes.
Joyful.
Yeah.
Even.
100%.
Exhilarating even. Sometimes
yeah.
you'll get frustrated. Sometimes it's like any relationship. It's you and your guitar.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're gonna feel frustrated. Sometimes you're gonna feel elated. But when it comes down to it, you're gonna feel great. You're gonna love it. You know, you're gonna feel this wonderful stuff flowing.
Yeah.
You're just gonna want to hug your guitar. You know, like, how many people have sung about that? You know. How many people have talked in their music or in their speech? How many famous guitarists that you know just like, I love my guitar.
Yeah, 100%. And even it's funny, and like sometimes when a song comes out for the first time, when they're singing it, like I'll know the words before they actually say the words, because I'm just like, you just like you go with the flow, and it's just, you know, sometimes you just, I guess, get immersed with the music. You kind of like, you know, the words would naturally flow into my head real quickly, and then the singer would actually say the same words. And it's like, if I guess, you know, even though I'm not a songwriter, it's like you could actually be a songwriter if you practice, because it, you know, right away, just listening to the sounds, words just came in my head that I thought would go nicely. And then all of a sudden you hear the musician singing and they're saying the same words, you know.
You just stepped right in that river, didn't you?
I did.
I love it.
So tell everybody before we go one more time what your website is so they know.
Yes, it's limitless-guitar.com, and I hope to see you there. Everybody
yes.
write to me. I love to hear from you. My email address is there, info@limitless-guitar, but you can get it through the site. Yeah, let me know how you're doing and what you need.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much. This has been
thank
awesome,
you.
Charlotte. I love it. I love it. I love when we spend time together.
I do too.
So much. I really
yeah.
do.
I look
I really
forward
do.
To it every time. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Well, you have a great day.
You too. I'll
All
see
right.
you next time.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.